This is WFII News Now. It's November 14th, and I'm Abriana Heron. Coming up, there is no shortage of public health issues these days, but public health workers say there is a chronic shortage of resources.
We have to really help build up and maintain an adequate public health infrastructure so that we can be better prepared for the next pandemic.
That's coming up from Side Effects Public Media, but first, these headlines. A Marion County Superior Court judge ruled on a contentious lawsuit between Indianapolis Public Schools and the state. The judge says IPS is exempt from a law that requires districts to sell shuttered school buildings to charter organizations for $1. IPS sued the state to establish whether it was exempt from the so-called dollar law. Earlier this year, policymakers revamped the law and added an exemption. Attorney General Todd Rokita's office argued that IPS did not meet the requirements to be excluded. But the judge decided IPS can now sell two closed school buildings. The director of Hamilton East Public Library, Edra Waterman, will step down from her role at the end of December. The announcement comes after a tumultuous year for the suburban library system. From WFII's education desk, Lee Gaines has more.
Waterman was charged with implementing a controversial policy that led to the relocation of nearly 2,000 titles from the youth section to the adult stacks. The policy barred materials that contained depictions of sex, violence, and repeated profanity from the library's teen zone. It was created and approved by conservative members of the library board. The library came under national scrutiny after Hoosier author John Green criticized the policy. His young adult novel, The Fault in Our Stars, was moved to the library's adult section because it contained a sex scene. Library board members claimed the book had been moved in error, but Waterman and Green both said the relocation was the result of the board's policy. The board opted earlier this year to pause the collection policy. I'm Lee Gaines, WFYI News.
The Hamilton East Public Library Board will begin the search process for a new director immediately. That's according to a statement from the library system. Several Indianapolis renters removed evictions from their records during an eviction sealing clinic. The event was hosted by Indiana Legal Services, a nonprofit law firm that provides legal services to low-income residents in Indiana. Tenants met with attorneys at the Indianapolis Public Library's Central Branch to review their eviction case and hide it from public records. Indianapolis resident Tammy Olson attended the clinic. The 43-year-old is homeless and says her eviction from 2 years ago continues to impact her ability to find stable housing today. Evictions can remain on your record for years.
This is something that's going to affect me for a long time. I mean, I don't even know if I'll be able to recover from something like this.
Patrick Chavis IV is Lawrence Township's Eviction Diversion Initiative Program Director. He says erasing evictions from tenants' records can be critical for their future housing application approvals.
So it's like expunging your record, saying you shouldn't continue to be punished for problems of the past.
Chavis says eviction sealing clinics help get more cases filed and reviewed by judges, as well as more evictions erased from people's records. He says the next eviction sealing clinic for Indianapolis residents will be in January 2024. Governor Eric Holcomb directed the Indiana Finance Authority to take over a study that's looking into whether water in Tippecanoe County could be used to support a large industrial district in Lebanon. As WFII's Ben Thorpe reports, that study was overseen by the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, which faces growing opposition from the region.
Local officials and some state lawmakers have both questioned the IEDC's transparency around the water study and called for any data collected to be submitted for an independent third-party review. David Sanders is a West Lafayette City Councilor who introduced a resolution opposing a proposed water pipeline and formed a local group, Stop the Water Steal. He said moving the study away from the IEDC is a step in the right direction.
People contacting their legislators is having an effect. Democracy can work.
In a statement, a spokesperson for the IEDC called the move a, quote, natural next step in taking this study across the finish line. I'm Ben Thorpe.
And for our in-depth story, there are a ton of public health issues to deal with. from dipping childhood vaccination rates to mental health illness and overdose deaths. The key players who do the job and deal with all of this say they are underfunded and burnt out. Side Effects Public Media's Noah Taborda reports that many local public health departments in the Midwest struggle with limited resources and deepening public mistrust since the pandemic.
Getting a one-year-old ready for her vaccinations.
Charlotte Square prepares vaccines for dozens of kids and adults each day.
She's going to get a DTaP today, a pneumonia shot, a Hib shot, and a hepatitis A, which will be 5 injections. Today.
Square is an immunization nurse at the Wyandotte County Health Department Clinic in Kansas City. Counting other roles, she's been with the department for nearly 2 decades. But these days, Square notices things are different. There aren't quite as many people coming into the clinic for appointments, especially children. Square says this is the sharpest drop in appointments she's seen since before the pandemic. She says that goes for everything from COVID vaccines to measles, mumps, and rubella.
One of my goals is to work with the school nurses on bringing those students back in. So the going to outreaches, that's going to help a great deal.
Square believes schools getting pushback on their vaccination requirements and misinformation worsened by the pandemic are some of the reasons why less people are rolling up their sleeves for the jabs. And it's a nationwide issue. Compared to the 2020-2021 school year, vaccine coverage dropped nearly a full percent for all vaccines. That's nearly 30,000 less kids vaccinated. Adrian Casalotti is with the National Association of County and City Health Officials. She says local health departments play a critical role in making sure people are properly vaccinated.
They all do a lot of education around the importance of vaccines, and then they work also to try and ensure that there's access where you might not see it. So they help bring vaccines to make it easier so that you don't have to plan your day around it.
But these health departments are fighting an uphill funding battle. They saw federal and state governments pump money in during the pandemic. Now, most of that is gone. Even the leftover funding is likely not usable for other public health efforts because it's earmarked for COVID.
And if she should have a reaction, I do have an EpiPen here that I would have to use on her. And
in Kansas City, departments are picking up the pieces of the pandemic in hopes they can rebuild public trust and decrease this hesitancy and misinformation. But limited resources stand in the way of that. Ray DeLugalike is with the Jackson County Health Department. He says the public has to be on the same page to ensure proper support and investment flow into health departments.
It definitely requires a larger public discourse about, you know, what we value as a society and where we're going as a society as it pertains to, you know, growth and expectations of life and ability to have a quality life.
At least 30 states, including Iowa, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, and Kentucky in the Midwest, have a limited public health authority in some way. Couple that with burnout and limited resources, and you get a mass exodus. DeLugalike estimates only 1/5 of Jackson County's workforce remains from before the pandemic. And at least 3 directors have left their posts since COVID in the metro area alone. Charlie Hunt is the director of the Johnson County Department of Health and Environment.
We have to really help build up and maintain an adequate public health infrastructure that we can respond to whatever comes along, so that we can be better prepared for the next pandemic.
He says to do the day-to-day work, departments need a strong foundation. Right now, they have to take a piecemeal approach. I'm Noah Taborda, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest and based here at WFII in Indianapolis. That's all for today's episode of WFII News Now. Our podcast was produced by the following people who live in your community: Darian Benson, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Abriana Heron. Our news director is Sarah Neal Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.